In Joshua chapter 24, as we read, we'll find that Joshua is preparing to leave the children of Israel. He had performed that which God had willed for him to do, brought them over into the promised land, led them through the victories, were with them in all of their troubles, sorrows, and heartaches. But now he's about to leave. He's about to go to be with the Lord. But before he goes, he challenges the people whom he loved so dearly. And in verse 15 of Joshua 24, in the 15th verse, Joshua speaks to them like this: "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord," in other words, it was as though he was saying, if you think that it's so bad to serve the Lord, if you think it's so hard to serve the Lord, there may be those here this morning that would be speaking to themselves in their hearts and their minds, "It's so hard to live for God." Or you may be saying, "I'd like to be able to serve God, but it just seems impossible or so hard for me." Listen to what he says: "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord," if you think that you're going to have trouble serving the Lord, "choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, everyone in my house, we will serve the Lord." I want us to think primarily upon this one word: choose. C-H-O-O-S-E. Because every one of us in this room this morning are going to have to choose. You won't be able to sit there and not make some kind of a choice. You're going to have to do it this morning whether you want to or not. You're going to have to face up to the truth, because you must choose. Choose whom you will serve. Choose whom you will serve. First of all, Joshua makes it very plain and very simple. That's the way I have to have it: plain and simple. But he makes this choice personal. Whether you're young or old, whether you're male or female, whether you're wise or unlearned, rich or poor, every one of us are going to have to choose personally right now whom we will serve. It's your choice. I cannot choose for you. You cannot choose for me. But you must choose for yourself. You can't get out of it. There's no way in the world that you can get out of choosing today. You must make that choice personally. Mother, father, son or daughter, brother or sister, neighbor or friend will not be able to make your choice for you. But you must make it yourself. It's not what someone else might choose for you, but it's what you must choose for you right now. You're going to be held accountable for what you choose to do in your life. You're going to be held accountable for the choice you make. And when you make it, you'll not be able to blame anyone else for the choice that you've made. You will make the choice, and no one else will be held accountable for the choice you make, right or wrong. But whatever you choose, it will be marked down as your choice, and you'll answer for the choice that you make personally. Are you ready to make that choice? Are you ready to choose? Whether you are or not, you have to make it. And the choice you have to make is right now. It's right now. You're going to have to choose right now whom you not only have to make that choice right now. Joshua said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day." Right now, he said. He said, if you think that it's wrong to serve God, if you think that it's too hard, if you think it's impossible, then you must choose personally right now, today, whom you will serve. What choice have you made right now? Whom have you chosen to serve? You cannot serve God and evil at the same time. You have to choose one or the other. You either have to choose the Lord Jesus Christ, or you choose to go on in your sins and rebellion. One or the other. You can't do both at the same time. But you have already made your choice as you sit there right now. You've already made that choice, one way or the other, whom you intend to serve. It's not what you did or what you chose to do yesterday, because that's all in the past. But it's what you choose to do right now. Right now, this day. It's not what you plan to do tomorrow, because you have no guarantee that you'll live to see the sunrise in the morning. God hasn't even told you that you're going to live to see that sunset tonight. You may die before this day is over. And the only opportunity you have to choose God or to choose to serve the Lord is right now. Right now, while we're here in this room. While you're still living and breathing, that's the only opportunity you have to serve God. And you have to make that choice for yourself today, this very moment. In the book of Proverbs, let me read you something in the book of Proverbs that the Bible says about tomorrow. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1, the Word of God says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1. You ever notice how much of our lifetime we spend talking about tomorrow? Tomorrow, tomorrow. It seems as though we live or try to live our lives in the tomorrows that never come. That never come, that never happen. Because you and I only live in present time. We do not live yesterday. We do not live tomorrow. We only live today. And you must choose this day whom you will serve, the Lord or evil. And every one of us in this room have already made our choice one way or the other while I speak to you. You see, I'm thinking, Brother Hall, I'm thinking. And while you're thinking, you've already made a choice one way or the other. Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon. You'll hate the one and hold to the other, or you'll love the one and hate the other. But you can't serve both. You have to make a choice personally, and you have to make it right now. You have to make it even now. Let me ask you something. Is it settled? Are you settled on it? Are you settled on the choice that you have made right now, whom you will serve? Is your heart fixed upon it? Are you going to sit there and say, listen, I'm not going to change. I'm going to remain the same I am. Whatever that might be, you might choose to go on and follow after sin and after your own sinful inclinations, or you have chosen to surrender to God and obey Him. Is your choice settled? Do you know already what you've chosen to do? Only the Lord, only you and the Lord knows exactly what you've chosen to do right now. You can put on a smile, you can put on the best face, and none of us will really, really, truly know what you've chosen to do. Whether to surrender to the will of God or to surrender to your own natural will, which is always sinful, which will always draw you away from God rather than draw you nearer to Him. This will be the most important choice you make today. Whom you choose to serve. Whom you choose to line up with. Whoever it is. Whoever it is. You'll be against the other. If you choose to serve evil, if you choose to serve sin, if you choose to go on in a natural way of life, then you have taken sides against the God that lets you live right now. It's as though you're looking to God and saying, no, I will not get on your side. I will not line up on you with you against the evil in my life and in my soul. I'm going to take a stand against you if you choose to follow evil, if you choose to remain in your sins and your sinful condition. But if you choose to surrender your all to God, if you're willing to come to God just as you are, maybe you're here and lost and have never been saved. Maybe you've never had a real living experience in salvation. Salvation is something that's real. Salvation is something that has to do with life. Not only life here, but life ever after. And the real experience of salvation is standing in the presence of the Almighty Holy God as the guilty, hell-deserving sinner that you are. Turning from your sin unto the truth of God. Falling upon His mercies and His grace. Believing His word that He sent His only begotten Son into this world to live and suffer and bleed and die for your sins according to the Scriptures. That He was buried according to the Scriptures, and on the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures for our sins. Listen, folks, that's a real experience. That's not just something you get in your head, it's something you get in your heart and soul. Repentance is not something that just comes out of the head or out of the mouth. Repentance toward God because of sin is something that works in your soul toward God. Have you had an experience like that? Have you ever had that experience in life where that you truly repented of your sins toward God and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you haven't, you've already made your choice. You're a rebel against God. You're taking your stand against the Lord. You refuse to believe His Word. You refuse to obey His command. The Bible says that God commands all men everywhere to repent. And if you refuse to do so, you've already made your choice to stand against Him today. But you have to make that choice right now. You may be here and saved, but you haven't lived like it. You haven't acted like it. You haven't done those things that you know that God would have you to do personally. I believe that God speaks to every heart of those who are saved. God never forgets you. He never leaves you nor forsakes you once He saves you by His grace. He speaks to you, letting you know what He'd have you to do. And you have to choose this morning whether you're going to serve God or this old world. You have to choose right now. You've already made the choice, whether you want to admit it or not, one way or the other. I can't tell you. I can look over this crowd and I cannot tell you for the life of me or for your own life what choice you've made. But you can't tell what choice I've made. Truly, honestly. But you've already made the choice, and you and the Lord know what your choice is. The choice, or what you have chosen to do right now, is going to affect your life today. What you've chosen to do right now will affect your life today. It's going to have to do with every moment you live, as long as God lets you live through this day. If you live through this day and wake up in the morning, the choice you make will have an effect on your life. You're not some kind of animated puppet. You are real. And God has given you the facilities and the abilities to make choices. How come you're sitting where you sit? You made that choice, didn't you? You say, no, Mama made me sit there. Yes, but you chose to obey her or he, whoever told you to sit there, Mom or Dad. But we all have to make choices every day, all day long, don't we? Don't we? When you get right down to it, we make choices. It is the grace of God and the mercies of God that allow us to make those choices. God does work. And God does move in hearts. But every one of us, no matter what, we're going to be held accountable for every choice we make in life, whether good or bad. Now, I told you I wanted to make it as simple and plain as I can. And every one of us understand what the Word of God is saying this morning. Joshua said the same thing. He says, you choose this day whom you will serve. Didn't he? He said, you do the choosing. That's what I'm telling you this morning. Listen, the choice you make is going to have an effect on your life. And your life is going to have an effect on others according to the choice that you make this morning. You can either serve the one and the only true God, or you can serve the gods of this world, which are many. Listen to Joshua one more time in Joshua 24, verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Joshua said, you can either serve the one and the true God, or you will choose to serve the many gods of this world. Right now, you have either chosen to serve God, you have either chosen to submit and to surrender to the will of God in your life, or you have chosen to serve the will of the gods of this world. And there are many. There are many gods in this world today. People can make their job where they work a god. You think about it. There are folks who said, I can't go to church. I can't be there on Sunday because I have to work. Joshua said, you did the choosing. If you go to work and miss church services, you did the choosing. You didn't. You said, brother, all I have to. Do you really? Or is it because you're afraid not to? When I worked at the Whirlpool Corporation, Evansville, Indiana, I had the best job I ever had in my life. Made more money than I ever made in my life. Had all the benefits that you brethren and folks who work in these industries had. But they'd keep coming around and said, this Sunday, you're working. No, not me. Don't you know we'll fire you? Yes, you could. And if you want to, you can. But I will not. I might work 10, 12 hours a day through the week, but not on Sunday at all. They never did fire me. They threatened them many a time. And according to their practices, they could have. And if they did, I'd have just walked out thanking the Lord for the privilege to serve Him. I gave it up. I gave that up and took a part-time job, $75 a week, because I chose to serve the Lord. Never have gone hungry. Never have done without what I needed. Maybe not always had everything I wanted, but I had everything I needed. And you must choose sometimes between your workplace and the true Lord and God. You have to make that choice. Sometimes people make their wealth their God. They just can't seem to get enough. Paul talks about it over in Timothy. He says, to those that will to be rich. That means that's their will to be rich. Their will is to be rich. That's their God. That's their aim. That's their goal. That's their purpose. There's nothing wrong with having wealth. There's nothing wrong with acquiring wealth as long as it isn't your God. As long as you're willing to serve the Lord and surrender to Him, wealth doesn't become your God. Sometimes sports is a God to many. I mean, everything else has to take second place when it comes time to sports, whatever it might be. This is what I like to do, and I want to do it, and I'm going to do it no matter what. I agree with Pastor Titus. If it takes you away from your family, if it takes you away from the church and serving God, that becomes a God in itself to you. When it's more important to you than God Himself. Sometimes folks make their families their God. I hear excuses many, many times. Well, the reason we weren't here is because they asked me to come and visit them, and I just had to go on Sunday. And sometimes, you know, your family becomes one of your greatest enemies because they become jealous if you choose to serve God and not them. They'll work on you. They'll make you feel guilty because you'd rather serve the Lord than to be with them. But the thing of it is, folks, if they really loved you as much as they said, and if they wanted to be with you as much as they said, instead of you going to where they are on Sunday, why don't they come and be where you are on Sunday sometimes? One time after we were saved, my brother came to visit us on Sunday morning. Didn't call, just came. Just about the time we were leaving for services, he drove 30 miles to get there, he and his family, and I saw them coming. I was glad to see him, but I knew he didn't come to go to church. They got out just like they always had before. Walked up. We greeted each other. And then I said, Jerry, I said, we're all ready to go to church this morning. I said, I'd like for you to go with me, you and your family, if you would. But if you won't go, if you don't want to go, then the door's open and you can stay and make yourself at home. And when we get back, we'll visit. But I said, as far as us, we want to go to the house of God. Listen, folks, it's not that I have to go. It's that I want to go. Is that the choice you've made this morning? Is the choice that you've made this morning is because you want to? Because I want to serve the Lord. I want to be where God's people meet together. I want to be where you can hear the real music ring out. And the sweet fellowship and the true love of God is manifested in the house of God. But you see, there are many gods. Even families become gods. If you bow down to your children's wishes, they say, I don't want to go. We shouldn't. We can't. Well, all right. Then they become your God. You've chosen to serve them rather than your Lord. Children can become your God sometimes. I love my children. I love my wife. I do. I love them with all of my heart. But I certainly don't want them to become my God, that I must surrender to their every will and wish and desire, no more than I'd want them to do that for me. But what good have these gods done you? The gods that you may have chosen to serve right now, look at them. Look at those gods that you may have chosen to serve. Maybe it's alcohol, drugs. Maybe it's just carousing around and sin and dancing and lying and cheating and stealing and a little bit of everything, just laying out and doing the things that are all wrong. What good have they done you? What profit are they? What profit have they been to you? Actually, they steal away your joy. They steal away your peace. They steal away your happiness. You can't get along with God. You can't feel good in His presence because these gods are wrong for you. They'll never help you. But if you keep on following them and yielding to them, you'll find that when sin is finished, it always brings forth death. Any other god than the one and only God of the Bible is sin. And you've already chosen right now whom you will serve as we sit here or as we gather together. Now the question is, folks, you know what you've already chosen to do. But could you tell us all right now what it is? Would you be willing to tell us what your choice is right now? Would you be willing to come and say, I'm not ashamed of the choice that I've made? Could you do that? What have you chosen today for yourself? Have you seen the Lord God Almighty this morning high and lifted up? He's been so good to you in spite of how you've treated Him. He's been so wonderful to you in spite of your rebellion, your stubbornness. What do you choose for your own life, for yourself? Do you choose to go on in your sins? Do you choose to go on and wallow in the misery and the mire of sin? Or do you choose to yield yourself, all of yourself, unto the Lord Jesus Christ as the King of your life, as the Savior of your soul? And you mom and dads this morning, not only must you choose for yourselves individually, and I like the way that Joshua put this. He said, but as far as me and my house, as far as me and those who live in my house, I told my children, as long as you live in my house. You see, a house is a place for a home. And those children live in their mother and father's house. And as long as those children live in our house, they're responsible to obey our rules. They're responsible to do that which we require of them to do. And I told my son when he was 18 years old and older, I said, as long as you live in my house, you must be in at the time I give you. You must go to church where I preach. And you must be willing to live like I expect you to live. Rules. And I said, there's only one thing. If you choose to break those rules, you yourself have chosen what you want to do. That's the way it always ought to be. What have you chosen for your family today? What have you chosen for your family, your children, as well as yourself? Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. If you're not with him, you're against him. And if you side in with anyone or anything else, you take your place against him. But what should you do right now? Ask yourself this question, whoever you are and wherever you're sitting in this room. What should you do right now to please the Lord? What should you do? Whether you need to be saved, whether you need to get right with God and be restored back into fellowship with Him and the church, or whether you just need to get your life and your family straightened out. Listen, there's nothing any greater. There's nothing any more wonderful for a mother and a father to look around and see their children in the house of God. Serving the Lord. But what would you have to do today to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you please the Lord? What should you do? And then do you choose to do it? Do you choose to do it this morning? Do you choose to do it? We can't make you do that. We can't make you serve God. I'd make my children go to church if they didn't want to go, because I believe that's the best thing for them. And if I didn't, I'd be awful mean to them, because you see, I'm responsible for my house, for my family. Until they get old enough to get out, and then if they want to leave the house and go their way, they're going to be responsible. But I've always told them, I said, listen, you can get away from the house and you can get away from Dad. I can't see you. I may not hear from you. May not even hear about you. But if you choose to do wrong, you'll have to do it in spite of what I've taught you. I can go to sleep with that at night, folks. I can meet the Lord with that. To know that I taught them, ruled as well as I could. But this morning, you must make the choice. Whom will you serve? Do you think it's so bad to serve the Lord? Do you think it's terrible? Not me. I'm not saying that it's all roses and everything's just fine. There'll be trouble and sorrow along the way. But I'm telling you, if you don't serve Him, you're going to find more trouble and more sorrow. And you won't have any strength. You won't have any strength and power to draw from if you choose to be on your own. But won't you this morning choose to serve the Lord? Come to Him by faith. Turning from sin, drawing near to Him, whatever you need, would you do it this morning as we stand together and sing during this invitation? Would you be willing to come and say, Brother Hall, Pastor Titus, I've made my choice. And I don't mind anyone knowing today, I choose the Lord. Would you be willing to do that as we sing?